Refila Moloto with me in studio, founder and principal advisor at Ambassador Advisory. I must admit first that as I was reading that Avuva thing, I felt like looking to you thinking, hey, this sounds like a place where you would want to go.
That's actually not a bad call. It's a very good idea. But it's great to be here with you, Koketlo.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. So today, focusing on the African Development Bank's update on openness of migration in its Africa Visa Openness Report released late last month.
That's right. Yeah. I thought it was quite interesting. It's something we've spoken about on the show before, which is, you know, areas that can really grow in terms of sectors being tourism and the like have to be improved on the African continent by an increase in integration. And what I like about the Visa Openness Index is that, you know, we spoke about the African passport before, but, since it moved from being potentially ready in 2017 to potentially 2020, there's always this doubt that the AU is going to announce something and it's just going to fall apart and nobody's going to do anything about it. So this is sort of introducing accountability about where is every African country going. And we've seen a decent amount of improvement. At the moment, obviously, Africa is only 17% integrated from a mobility and a trade perspective. Yeah. And the idea is that increased mobility should ultimately lead to increased trade. Why is that important to us? Is obviously the resilient. You want a resilient region. At the moment, we are quite hamstrung by what our biggest trade partners do. If Europe is sick, we're going to get sick. Mm-hmm. You know, our exports get sick. If China slows down, we slow down. And actually, African economies are quite uncorrelated. So it would be much better to have a more diverse clientele. I mean, any company would tell you don't want the one big client. Mm-hmm. Much more diverse clientele, and also next door, which would create a much more resilient.
In looking at which countries have improved, so Ghana, Senegal, Malawi, my favorite countries on the continent, Tunisia, Sao Tome, but at the same time, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done with South Africa, Benin, Namibia, and others.
Absolutely. So at the moment, the continent itself is still 50% requires visas. Just to be a bit clearer, the index specifically looks at countries that don't need a visa, the percentage of African countries that don't need a visa to come to your country, the percentage of African countries that can get a visa on arrival, and then those that need an actual prescribed visa. South Africa does score very poorly. We're in the bottom half. It's something like 0.2. It's a score between 0 and 1, 1 being open. We're at about 0.27. The likes that you've just mentioned, like Ghana, which is in the top 10, actually improved its score by introducing a visa on arrival scheme for everybody outside of ECOWAS. Countries obviously already had that access. Senegal as well, 42 out of 55 countries in Africa can visit their visa free. Malawi, as you say, they've broadened to 14 more African countries beyond COMESA and SADC to allow them to come in with no visa. But Malawi, and to be fair, their policy only works for those countries that don't force them to have a visa to come to them, which is only fair. But your point around sort of the comparison is that, you know, it's not just regional in terms of the way that we see the split. You know, obviously, Eastern African community has always been very integrated and remains alongside ECOWAS the most integrated on the west coast, on the west side of Africa. But you can see trends from this report around the economic drivers. You'll find that the upper middle income countries in Africa, of which we have 9, 8 of them are in a very, very low score. So you can see we're all harboring. It's becoming very much like Europe and the US in this world of closing borders.
Because also, I mean, on that, I'm not seeing Rwanda here. And Rwanda economically is doing really well, but I'm not seeing them in terms of their openness.
They're in the top 20 on openness, probably around about 11, I think, I'll stand to be corrected. And actually, they've started to inspire. So you mentioned Benin. Benin says, inspired by Rwanda, we want to also increase openness. And I'm glad you raised the Rwanda point, because you'll find that the landlocked countries, the small countries, and the islands are the ones that have the most openness. They're trying to increase tourism. They're trying to encourage trade links. And if everybody had that kind of attitude, I suppose, obviously, you would start to see a great deal more integration. But as I say, the rich countries are saying, well, just a second now, I don't know if you necessarily want to come in here.
Yeah.
The trouble with that, of course, is that our borders in the main are quite porous. So you might as well open.
People are coming in.
They're coming anyway. Exactly. You know, at least 5 people around you who, you know, are not showing up in the system. Rather introduce free visas or visa on arrival. In fact, like Ghana, their visa on arrival, you still have to show proof of accommodation, proof of funds, your return ticket and things of the like. And then allow the people in so that at least they're in the system. They're taxable. They can be put into our systems of assessment, comparable labor, because tourism, you would expect would eventually encourage business tourism, would eventually encourage the mobility of labor and ultimately goods and services.
My challenge, though, when one looks at the African continent, is that it is much more expensive for me to get to Senegal.
Yeah.
Than it is for me to get to London.
Yeah,
it's and a I real found that problem. so ridiculous. When one searches for flights and considers going anywhere, you almost end up going to Europe or even to the East instead of going to Dakar.
Exactly, Koketso. And that, I guess that's the chicken and egg of demand and supply. We will increase the flights on the route to Senegal when we start seeing more people want to go there. More people want to go there if it's easy to get in and if the tourism industry is accessible. So what you're finding is that obviously there are plenty flights to China, there are plenty flights to London, and therefore you've got competition in those markets. And if we could make it easier, because I would much rather have a Pan-African tour for my summer holidays with my kids if I could just hop, skip and jump and I didn't need...
My dream, I must be honest, my dream is just to walk the beaches of Ghana with wife and kids. That's I want to do that. But it's
Well, it's now easier for you. This year...
Visa access?
Now it's easier for you.
The other issue that comes up, though, again, with what happens on the African continent, if one looks at one of the most amazing countries like Mali, is that then you still have to worry about issues of safety.
Correct. That's
because
a big
of
risk.
The attacks there. And then in Nigeria in the north with Boko Haram, even though you want to explore the continent, issues of safety and terrorism come up as well.
I think so. I mean, there's obviously, you and I both know that Europe is the hub of terrorist attacks at the moment. Mm. So it doesn't mean that it necessarily happens in Africa. But the difference, obviously, is that with that London driver attack on Tower Bridge, there was an 8-minute response time. And I'm not sure that we have the infrastructure in place if something like that happened in the regions that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, I think terrorism networks and the potential for the movement of illicit products and even sort of human trafficking become a concern when considering whether or not to open up visa networks. You can imagine, as South Africa says, I'd like to open my gates to everybody, but what does that mean for my relationship with the UK and Europe in terms of whether or not I'm going to now need to have a visa application with them?
Quickly, before we run out of time,
yes.
Business, trade on the continent. You mentioned if more of us visit certain countries, we might come back not only as labor, but as investments. How much of a movement, intra-African movement of trade are we seeing? How many South Africans
17% integration. And I mean, so speaking of the sort of the improvement on the visas in South Africa, which you mentioned, the one thing that we did do in the past year is we announced that we're going to now allow a 10-year multi-entry visa to academics and businesses. So you might not necessarily make the 3-month holiday visa the accessibility, but if you're really trying to focus and encourage trade specifically, you could do that. There could be tax breaks involved, reduce, like Senegal did, reduce the costs of the ancillary taxes, the fuel taxes and the like. Yeah. You book a flight, $900 is the flight and $1,200 is the taxes, and improve the viability of traveling there by reducing those.
The beauty, though, is if you can get there, if you can get to a country like Kenya, and the beauty that is Kenya, and also our rand goes a long way in Kenya.
Yes, absolutely.
Our rand goes a long way in Mozambique. I mean, I was there in October and it's four to the metical. So it's looking good. Spend a bit
as soon as you land. But they're very similar to us. I mean, Cape Town, and that we also, not that we have differential pricing, but in the areas that are the kinds that European clientele or tourists would want to go, the prices look like their pocket.
Yes.
So when you are staying at the Polana, your Vivre Le Coq does cost three times the much it would here in South Africa.
No, let them know, my brother, I am just from across the border.
I'm from next door. Bule, when you speak in Shangaan, they're a lot cooler in Mozambique. They start becoming, much more accessible.
Appreciate it, Rufile Moloto. Thank you very much, founder and principal advisor at Ambassador Advisory. Do you travel on the continent? How have you accessed different places? And have you benefited from the visa on arrival or visiting different countries where a visa is not required? If I had my way, I must just admit, today what we're seeing in Botswana is the memorial service of the late President Seki Dumile Masire. If I had the time, I'd just hop onto a plane and just go pay my respects there, purely because I have got a love for the country. But I know that all it takes is just my passport and off we go.